Chapter 3. Miss Havisham. When I was old enough, I was going to learn to be a blacksmith with Joe. I was already helping him in the forge, and I was going to school. An old woman had an evening school in the village, and she was helped by her granddaughter Biddy. I learned more from Biddy than from her grandmother, and soon I could read and write a little and do some simple maths. One evening in winter, my sister had gone to town to visit Uncle Pumblechook. I sat by the fire at home and wrote this letter to Joe. It took me an hour, and I did not really need to write anything because Joe was sitting next to me.
"My dear Joe, I hope you are well. I will be very happy when I am working with you in the forge. We will have a lot of fun, Joe. Your friend Pip."
I passed the letter to Joe. "Pip," he said, "you're a good pupil. Look, here's a J and here's an O. That's my name."
"Can you read the rest, Joe?"
I asked. "The rest? Well, here are two more O's and another J."
"Did you ever go to school, Joe?"
I asked. "No."
"Why not?"
"Well, Pip," said Joe, "my father was a blacksmith too, but he drank too much, so he couldn't work hard and we didn't have much money. And sometimes he hit my mother and me. I didn't have time for school. I had to start work young, and I worked hard because my father didn't. But he was a good man, Pip, and I was sorry when he died. My mother died not long after him, and after that I was lonely until I met your sister. And always remember, Pip, that Mrs. Joe is a fine woman, and that when I asked her to marry me, I told her to bring you with her. There'll always be room for him at the forge," I said. Then he hugged me. Suddenly, we heard the sound of a horse on the road. We jumped up and tidied the room and put more wood on the fire. My sister and Uncle Pumblechook drove up in his carriage and came into the house. They both looked excited.
"Well," said Mrs. Joe, "this boy should be very grateful."
"Why?" asked Joe.
"Because Miss Havisham wants this boy to go to her house and play," said Mrs. Joe. "And he will go. And he had better play there, or there will be trouble."
She looked at her stick in the corner of the room. Everybody knew about Miss Havisham. She lived alone in a huge dark house and never went out.
"She asked me," said Uncle Pumblechook, "if I knew a boy who would go to her house and play, so I thought of Pip."
"You're going back to town tonight with Uncle Pumblechook," Mrs. Joe told me. "You'll go to Miss Havisham's tomorrow morning. Remember, she's a rich woman and she can help you a lot."
I was quickly washed and dressed by my sister's rough hands. As I was sent off into the night with Uncle Pumblechook, I cried because I had never spent a night away from Joe before. At 10 o'clock the next morning, Uncle Pumblechook and I went to Miss Havisham's house. It was called Satis House, and it was big, old and dirty. The windows and doors had iron bars over them. The gate was locked, and we stopped there and rang a bell. A window opened and a voice demanded,
"What name?"
"Pumblechook."
The window closed, and then a young lady came to the gate with keys in her hand.
"This is Pip, is it?" she asked.
She was very pretty and seemed very haughty.
"Come in, Pip boy."
I walked in and Uncle Pumblechook started to follow me. The young lady stopped him.
"She doesn't want to see you," she said.
She closed and locked the gate in his face. I followed the young lady into the dark house. She picked up a candle and led me along a corridor.
"Come on, boy," she said. "Quickly!"
She called me boy, although she was about the same age as me. But she was so important and haughty that she seemed older. We went up some stairs, along another corridor, and came to a door.
"Go in,"
she said.
"After you," I said. "Don't be stupid, boy. I'm not going in."
And she walked away, taking the candle. I was a bit afraid, but I knocked on the door and a voice told me to come in. I went into a room lit by candles. The curtains were all closed. In an armchair, with her elbow on a table and her head on her hand, sat the strangest lady I have ever seen or shall ever see. She was dressed in white for a wedding, and she had flowers in her hair. But the flowers were dead, and her hair was white. She had not finished dressing. She had one shoe on, but the other was on the table near her hand. The wedding dress was for a young woman, but this woman was thin and old, and the dress was yellow now, not white. I wanted to cry out, but I could not move my lips.
"Who is it?"
she asked.
"Pip."
"Pip?"
"Mr. Pumblechook's boy," I answered. "I've come to play."
"Come nearer."
I moved closer to her and I started to see more things. I noticed that her watch had stopped at 9:20 and that a clock in the room was stopped at the same time.
"Look at me," said Miss Havisham. "Are you afraid of a woman who hasn't seen the sun since before you were born?"
"No," I lied. She put her hands on her chest.
"Do you know what I'm touching?"
she asked.
"Yes, your heart."
"Broken,"
she said, and smiled strangely.
"I'm tired, but I want to see something new. Play!"
She waved her fingers at me. This was the most difficult thing in the world for me, in this strange room with this strange woman.
"I'm sorry, miss. If you tell my sister, she'll be very angry with me, but I can't play. Everything is so new and sad and strange for me."
I stopped.
"So new to you," she said. "And so old to me, and sad to both of us. Call Estella."
I did not answer. I was not sure what to do.
"Call Estella," she repeated. "At the door."
I opened the door and called the name, and after a few minutes, I saw the candle coming along the dark corridor. When haughty Estella came into the room, Miss Havisham picked up a big diamond from the table and showed it to her.
"This will be yours one day," she said. "Now, play cards with this boy."
"With this boy?" said Estella. "He's just a poor working boy. Look at his rough hands and his old broken shoes."
"You can break his heart,"
Miss Havisham whispered to her. We played cards, and as we played, I began to understand the room and the wedding clothes. Something had happened a long time ago, and time had stopped here.
"This boy plays very badly," said Estella. "He's a stupid boy."
Of course, I lost every game, and as we played, Estella talked about me and how rough and uneducated I was.
"You don't say anything about her," said Miss Havisham to me. "Whisper it to me." "I think she's haughty and very pretty," I whispered in her ear. "And I'd like to go home now."
"And never see her again? But she's so pretty."
"I don't know if I want to see her again, but I do want to go home," I answered.
"You shall go soon," said Miss Havisham. "But come back in 6 days. Estella, give the boy something to eat and let him look at the garden."
I followed Estella along the corridors, down the stairs and into the garden. The garden was like the house, dark and empty. Then Estella went to get me some bread and meat to eat by the door, as if I were a dog. Her rudeness made me so unhappy that I started to cry, and I could see that she was pleased to see my tears. She laughed at me and pushed me out of the gate. Back home, I told Joe about Estella and what she had said, that I was poor and uneducated, with rough hands and old shoes. Joe reminded me that I was learning, and I would learn more as I got older. As I lay in bed, I thought about my day. I would certainly never forget it, because it was the day that changed my life forever. There was a pub in the village where Joe liked to smoke his pipe in the evening. One Saturday evening, Mrs. Joe sent me there to bring him home. I found him sitting by the fire with Mr. Wopsle and a stranger.
"Hello, Pip," said Joe,
and the stranger turned to look at me. He took his pipe out of his mouth and nodded to me. When I sat down, the man looked at me again, and then he reached down and touched his ankle. I thought the man was very strange.
"You're the blacksmith here, Mr. Gargery?"
asked the stranger, looking at Joe.
"That's right, isn't it, Pip?" said Joe. "Pip," said the stranger, "is he your son?"
"No," said Joe, "he's my wife's brother."
The stranger looked at me and then did something that shocked me. He picked up his drink and, secretly, so that only I could see, he stirred it with a file. I knew that it was Joe's file, and I stared at him, unable to move. The three men stayed talking for another half an hour, and then Joe stood up. It was time to go.
"Just one moment, Mr. Gargery," said the stranger. "I've got a coin here for the boy."
He put his hand in his pocket and pulled out a coin. He put some paper around it and gave it to me.
"There,"
he said to me.
"It's yours."
I thanked him and Joe and I walked home. Mrs. Joe was waiting for us, but she was not as angry as she usually was, so Joe told her about the coin. When we looked at it again, we found that the paper around it was £2 notes. I had never seen so much money. I slept badly that night. I was sure that the stranger's hand on his ankle and the file stirring his drink were meant to remind me of my prisoner. But why? And why had he given me the money? Was I now the secret friend of the worst criminals in England?